When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that line pours on the right, babe, not that man. Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning. I got you for 3 hours until the warm-up show comes your way at 5 a.m. We got Rami Lavi on the other side. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We're going to get to the New York Giants and a fascinating first episode of the first ever off-season edition of Hard Knocks, because there's plenty to get to. But we got to start with the two baseball teams. And as Marco said it, I've said it a bunch here, going in opposite directions. Going in opposite directions as the New York Mets, coming off scoring 6 runs in extra innings the other day. Last night, score 5 runs in extra innings. Take care of the Washington Nationals 7-2. And the Yankees fall to the Cincinnati Reds. And we'll start with those Mets because, I mean, right now, I don't know. I woke up today, and not to harp on anybody because we all have opinions, and I've been telling you, it's hard for me not to focus on this Mets team through the prism of what they should do at the trade deadline. It's very hard for me because right now during this stretch, that's what just jumps out at me. And as I continue to watch this team, as I watch Nimmo come through with the big hit, who didn't start the game, he's still dealing on some level with an injury, but he gets multiple big hits in this game, including the one that ties the game in the 8th inning with a bullet down the line. And that's, you know, looking at this offense, I mean, it's not just, yes, you know, Pete hits the home run, Lindor hits the home run, but like, it's bullets down. It's Iglesias going the opposite way with a bullet down the line. It's Nimmo going with a bullet down the line. It's good at bats. It's Alvarez throwing runners out trying to steal second base in a league where right now the stolen base is so prevalent. The Yankees can't throw anybody out. Alvarez is popping up throwing bullets to second base. I mean, the Pete Alonso obviously stepping in with a big home run to really put the game out of reach. And you know in extra innings you want to score as much as you possibly can. And yes, they've dealt with now J.D. Martinez, who has a sore ankle from wearing the wrong shoes. You know, same issue that Shoeless Joe Jackson had. Shoeless Joe Jackson just took them off. I mean, maybe that's something J.D. could do. But here's something that J.D. can't do. And that's be traded. Because again, I know I yelled about it yesterday. And I don't want to yell about the same things over and over again. I try not to. But I don't know how in the world, watching this team play, you could have any thought other than give them everything they need. That is the only thing. I watched this team. I watched them come through in every. Now, look, I don't think the Nationals are that good. I don't think the rest of the National League is that good. I don't think the other teams competing with them inside this wild card race are that good. I think the Mets are by far at the top of the food chain after you get past the division leaders and the Atlanta Braves. I don't think there is a doubt. And watching this team and the resiliency of this team, and then Manaea giving you innings, and the bullpen, which is obviously the weak link of this team, but you've thrown Budo in there now, who got you a couple of good innings, gave you a good performance last night. Daniel Nunez, who's pitched well for them overall. They have a couple of arms. Hopefully when Diaz comes back, he's someone you can rely on. But what I am not doing in any way, shape, or form, like I know, myself included, that when they were going through their first hot stretch after the miserable start to the year and then they beat the Reds And if they feel like sending a note over to the Yankees on how to get it done, I'd appreciate it. But after they beat the Reds, right, and they went to L.A. and they took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, and they were on this bit of a hot streak, and everybody was believing in it. I mean, the thought was, hey, you know, this general manager's not going to buy into this fool's gold. And they're not going to. This is different. This is now a full month with the best offense in baseball. A team that's, even when on nights where they get shut down for most of the game, when the game's on the line, you know they're going to come through. I don't know the last time I felt this way watching a Met team. I never, for a second in this game last night, thought they were going to lose. Not for a second. Even with their bullpen, I never thought they would lose that game. When's the last time we could say that? So the idea, yes, it is it tempting when we knew the plan of this team was to sell off some pieces, continue to build? That's what Stearns is going to do. The money comes off the books next year. All the money in free agency that they can add, plus having all these prospects come up and help them. Now we're seeing depth in the starting rotation, and maybe there are pieces that are available. And J.D. Martinez, who, yes, of course, right now is on a one-year contract. And I have no idea whether he's a part of the future of this team. Probably not. I haven't even thought about it, quite honestly, whether or not they would keep J.D. Martinez past this year. I don't think it's anything any of us have thought about. You know why? Because I don't care about J.D. Martinez and next year. I don't care about Severino and next year. This is the point. There comes a time when a team has shown you enough. There comes a time when you don't care about next year, no matter what the plan was at the start of the year. There comes a time. There are teams that surprise. There are teams that defy the odds. There are teams that will jump up and have big-time seasons, and suddenly you don't care. Last year, the Chicago Cubs probably didn't have the greatest of expectations. They're losing all year. They're waiting to make their Bellinger move, and then they get hot, and you know what? You can't care anymore because you've been thrusted in a position where anything can happen, and you have to chase it. And I'm tired of this. There is nothing else to do with this Met team. Look at what you're getting. Look at the big-time at-bats you're getting from Vientos. Look at the big-time play you're getting from Alvarez and how he's shaping the team. Look at the big-time at-bats. Nimmo has 50 RBIs. And up until 2 weeks ago, I didn't think he was having a good season. The only guy doing nothing is Jeff McNeil, and it's come time with Mr. Oh My God himself, Iglesias, having a great year, hitting .400, coming through with big hits. It's a time for Jeff McNeil to just step aside. You know why? Because all that matters is this year, and not Jeff McNeil's contract, and not anything else, and not what prospects you could get for Severino or what you think you could get for J.D. Martinez. You know what you can get from J.D. Martinez? A powerful bat and a steady force in the lineup that you hope can win you games in September and October. That's it. And if you fall short of that, and if that ultimately doesn't culminate in a championship or a World Series run, or dare I even say not making the wild card at all, then that's unfortunate. But it's not like this team would be in disarray. It's not like they would have missed some, you know, major option here to transform the organization. They made their moves. And yes, you can always make more. And if this team was in a different position, I would consider such things. But it's borderline disrespectful to watch this team and how they go about business right now and know that they have some gaping holes, but they're not out of the realm of being fixed. You have some guys in the minor leagues. You have some pitching depth at the starting rotation that could transfer to bullpen. You have some guys, you know, that could answer, but you know what you have to go do. And it's not, you don't have to go find. Right now, it feels like, since we're talking about both teams in opposite directions, it feels like the Yankees need 5 or 6 things, right? Now, I think that's probably short-sighted. We're going to get to them in a second because there are guys coming back from injury. And I don't think they'll ultimately need 5 or 6, but that's what it feels like. The Mets don't need 5 or 6 things. The Mets don't need anything other than bullpen help. That's it. That is it. And I'm not asking them for anything other than that. I understand where they are. The Mets don't have to go out there and trade away their top prospects for an ace starting pitcher. I'm not saying sell the farm for this championship run. What I'm telling you is right now, without that star starting pitcher, without that, clearly through this stretch, without a legitimate, excellent closer, without a piece that you would have to trade major chips for, you're still the best team in the National League over the last month and arguably the best team and best offense in all of Major League Baseball over the last month. You don't need to go sell Acuna. You don't need to go sell Jet Williams. You don't have to go out and sell your best blue chip prospects. But what you cannot do, what you should not do, and what this GM and ownership group absolutely cannot do is trade away a J.D. Martinez who has sparked this entire run with his excellent hitting, with his walk-off home run against the Marlins, and with his putting the importance on the meeting and talking about that meeting. All of it had a lot to do with the beginning of this, as well as Alvarez coming back, Lindor being transition to the leadoff hitter, Nimmo getting hot, all of it. It's all part of it. But J.D. Martinez arguably is the spark of all this. And I understand 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, it felt like he would be a clear trading chip. And now he's played so well that you get more for him even then. Right? And same thing with Severino. Clearly a one-year piece where if it works out, great. If not, you trade him. Well, guess what? I think we're in the it works out phase of the season. And that means, great, you stick with them. And I'm just, as a Met fan, I would be apoplectic right now and I'm tired of all the storylines around the team instead of just the team. I'm tired of even the good story. I'm tired of Grimace. I'm even tired now of OMG. I'm tired of it all. I'm tired of what should they trade. I'm tired of the same stuff I'm talking about. I'm tired of all of it. I just want to turn on the television every night and watch one of the best teams I've seen in a while and one of the best teams in Major League Baseball right now and a relentless group that seems to be doing everything right and a group that has given this GM every opportunity and every reason to believe in them. So no. Not trading J.D. Martinez. I think it's asinine. No, I'm not looking to rob Peter and pay Paul so I could trade from the deadline because Budo and Scott and even Lucchese, I have options. I don't. I have one option. I have one option. Give the 2024 Mets the best opportunity to win. And right now, look what they're doing. And you could scoff at, hey, it's the Nationals. Hey, it's two games. Hey, it's this. Hey, it's that. The Nationals are who they're competing with. The Nationals are one of the teams right in the mix. That's where the Mets are right now. And where the Yankees are right now is wondering what the hell is going on with Luis Gil. And let me just say this. Sometimes in our collective minds, we take our worries, we take our concerns, we take our preconceived notions, and we put it on what we see. There is no reason, there is real no reason to believe Luis Gil is fatigued. There is no real reason to think he's hit some sort of wall. I mean, how many people I've heard and talked to and seen and got text messages from my Yankee fan friends, oh, he looks exhausted. Where did you see he looks exhausted? I'm sorry. Did they wheel him out in an office chair or something? Like, where does he look exhausted? His fastball's throwing 98 miles an hour. It's preconceived notions. That's the fear that he will hit some sort of innings limit because it's been a talking point this entire year. Maybe it's just the start, and maybe he is fatigued, but there is no real sign of it. He's not telling you that. The team's not telling you that. And honestly, watching him, he lost his command a little bit, and he's going through something that young pitchers go through. Okay, we are past the idea that he's Doc Gooden. We are past the idea that it's Fernando mania. We are past the idea that he's going to be some rookie sensation who takes the league by storm, never slows down, and takes them all the way to the World Series championship. Yeah, we're past that. He's now hit struggles. And it's three consecutive starts, one being atrocious, and the other two not being great, where he can't battle through. He's a young kid, and he doesn't have the experience, or really, dare I say, the confidence to just say to himself, you know what, I can take a little bit off my fastball and locate a little bit better. You know what, I'll throw my changeup to start an at-bat instead of waiting for two strikes with it. Or I'll mix my pitch thing up, or I'll figure something out, or I'll, you know, he doesn't have that in him. That's clearly what he doesn't have, right? He's a young kid with excellent stuff, but the confidence has taken a hit, as well as the entire group's confidence has taken a hit. He goes out there every night on the mound, and that's why I thought last night's loss was tough, because now it passes to Rodon going out there thinking, hey, I got to win for my team. Hey, I got to give a good performance. Hey, we got to figure this out. We can't lose to the lousy Reds. Oh, I can't lose another series. I got to be, like, that's what Rodon has to deal with tonight. That's why I thought last night was important. I said it yesterday morning, because now Carlos Rodon, who I don't know, is capable of dealing with what we're seeing Luis Gil struggle with. The pressure of a season, the pressure of mounting struggles, the pressure of trying to get through a start when you don't have your best stuff and you're going through it a little bit mechanically in pitch count and leagues figured you out a little bit as a young starting pitcher, or Carlos Rodon, where they figured it out with how you use your fastball. And both of them seem incapable at the moment to figure all of this out. But Luis Gil, right now, there is no other option. Luis Gil's going to go out there and have to try and figure it out. And his stuff hasn't been diminished. His fastball's not 94. He's still blowing it past people. He just doesn't have it in him at the moment, which scares you, because ultimately you were counting on him to be the number two starter a month ago. You felt that good about him. But right now, as you look at him, he doesn't have that Andy Pettit in him, for lack of a better term, to just say, you know what, I'll get the ground ball. I'll make the pitch. I'll figure it out. I don't care that I have base runners on all day long. I will make the pitch to get out of this. He doesn't have that right now. And whether it's giving up long home runs to the nine hitter or losing the strike zone, he comes out of the game throwing 99 miles an hour, four straight balls to India. Like, that's where he is right now. There's really no option until the deadline. And this team is going to have to battle back. These next two games are important. You don't want to lose this series. You don't want to lose another series to the, you know, what, five or six games under 500 Cincinnati Reds, whose lineup really hasn't done much. Ellie De La Cruz comes in, puts on a show, hits a triple down the right field line, hits a bomb when they pitch. And listen, that's the real thing. Watching this game last night, I'm going to surprise you here for a second. The bullpen actually made me feel a little bit better last night, quite honestly. Because if you watched it, I thought that was the best performance from Canely, who they desperately need to get some stuff from. I thought Weaver looked excellent, who clearly is their second most important reliever besides Clay Holmes. So if Canely can get it going and Weaver can be at his best, and I still believe in Clay Holmes, at least I feel okay if the starting pitching can get you to the sixth or seventh. The problem is, under that, Ferguson absolutely stinks. I don't trust guys like Cousins or, you know, some of the other guys at the bottom of this bullpen. But at least I'm starting to feel, with Canely pitching well last night, that, all right, if I could figure out a way to get to the back end of the bullpen, at least I have something there that I can kind of feel good about. There's also, I mean, Tonkin has been pretty good too. So now, like, I feel like, okay, maybe there's three or four relievers that I feel somewhat okay about. I don't feel great about them. I wouldn't tell you, no problem, get me to the sixth, we're fine. But at least they're starting to turn that way, where some of the guys, like Weaver has been, you know, he's been okay, but not very good. Last night was a very good performance from him. Canely, I haven't really had that feeling of a solid, just, you know, good performance where I felt like you got last night. Tonkin's been good. So I'm starting to feel better about the bullpen, believe it or not, despite the fact they gave up more runs, because the underbelly of the bullpen absolutely stinks. And they're going to have to go out and get bullpen guys. Hopefully Efros is going to be here, you know, at the turn of the All-Star game and at the back end of July to kind of help this team. But that's what we're waiting for from the New York Yankees. And watching the starting rotation is right now the, without question, because the offense, and we're going to get to the offense as we get through the show, 888-808-1019. And as we get to 5 o'clock, I'm going to tell you again the problem they have in this lineup, and we're going to have to get into Anthony Volpe, and we're going to do that coming up here. But if you look at the offense, yes, struggles. Yes, it's Judge. Yes, everything else. All right, they scored 4 runs last night. Not good enough. They scored a bunch of runs in Toronto. They scored a bunch of runs against the Mets. The offense, while disappointing and certainly top-heavy, has not been the ultimate issue here. We get pissed off about it. Again, preconceived notions where we hate the offense because it's cost them in the postseason time after time. And who could disagree? 100% the truth. But our preconceived notion is, well, the offense thinks. We can't stand to see 1-2-3 innings. Can't stand to see Verdugo doing what he's doing right now. Volpe killing him at the top of the order. Totally agree. But the starting pitching, even more so than the bullpen, has without question been the biggest issue of this team. Without question. And now tonight, a guy who's coming off 3 consecutive horrendous starts is now put in a position where they need him to help win a series against the lowly Cincinnati Reds. He's got the pressure mounting of what happened yesterday, the pressure mounting of the offense not really being at the peak of its game, and the pressure mounting of him being freaking awful, the pressure mounting about the Orioles taking a bigger lead in the division, all this pressure that ultimately he should be able to put out of his mind, especially for a July 3rd start, is what scares me about Carlos Rodon. It's what scares me about Luis Gil more than fatigue or anything else. And right now, they are absolutely in a position where someone needs to step up and put an end to this. Now, they won 2 out of the last 3 against Toronto. They scored some runs. Gleyber does continue to hit and gets another base hit and scores and knocks in a couple runs in this game. There are some signs of some of it turning around, and if they can win this series and win the next 2 games, I think you take a deep breath and you go forward. But these next 2 games are important. You can't continue to lose series. You can't continue to lose series at home. And we'll get to the offense, what I think they should do with it. Again, I'll tell you. And then, of course, the issues with Verdugo and Volpe specifically. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We will get, don't worry about it, we will get to a very fascinating, better than expected, more interesting than expected, and more telling than expected first episode of off-season Hard Knocks New York Giants. Because I think there are some definite winners and some definite losers and some definite opinions and pretty much what I told you about Daniel Jones as well. So there's a lot to get into. There's the Saquon Barkley stuff. There's the Daniel Jones stuff. There's the John Mara stuff. There's a bunch of stuff to get into. So we got a fascinating first episode. And then, of course, our 2 baseball teams. Those will probably be the 2 themes of the show as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Your call's next. Over the next 2.5 hours, we got plenty to get to. Hang with me until 5. McMonagle here right on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's the play. He is out. Oh, he is out. What a play by Derek Jeter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Was that the foot play? We all know that Shane Spencer throw was making it home anyway. We all know that. 888-808-1019 at 2:30 in the morning. McMonagle here with you. So right now, I mean, watching the Mets, it's fun, man. It's just flat out fun. You know they're coming through. And consecutive games, and especially coming from a Yankee fan who's watched them struggle in extra innings. Really struggle. To watch a team just dominate back-to-back nights, they've scored 11 runs in back-to-back extra innings. 11. I mean, and the way they're doing it, too. Yeah, Alonso hits a home run, which, by the way, I'm not trading him either. I'm trading no one. I'm trading nobody. No one. I think you're out of your mind. I'm trading prospects. That is it. I'm not trading anybody off this team. How could you? You owe it to your fan base, man. How do you? I'm sorry. If you're a Met fan right now, I heard a Met fan call Keith Show. I think you're crazy. Do you know how hard it is to win? Honestly, do you know how hard? Because I know I and Keith was having some fun with me, calling me the Cashman defender as I was getting in here. I mean, but this is why I defend him, because it's not easy. Look at other franchises. It's not easy. It's not easy to win. It hasn't been easy for the Mets. Let's be honest, Met fans. Be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror. You guys throw a party if you make the playoffs back-to-back years. I mean, on one hand, you can count the times they've done it in your history. Like, this is not easy. And if you think, you know, you're guaranteed some sort of, you know, great extended run with this team, I'll take you back to 2006 when everybody thought the Reyes and Wright group was going to just have this open window of championship runs. So right now you feel good about, you know, the team. Alvarez is certainly feels like a stud and impacts the team on a high level. Vientos is showing what he could do offensively. You got these young prospects you believe in. Hopefully, you know, Scott and some of these other, you know, young starting pitchers hopefully coming through the ranks that you're going to continue to build. Like, yeah, it seems like a promising young franchise. I guess you could sell me on that. But you have no idea. And how in the world could you possibly, what kind of look would it be to trade away the guy in the middle of the lineup who sparked this whole damn thing? How, I mean, if I were a Met fan, I'd be like, you're not giving me the best chance to win this year? Like, seriously? I don't even know how you even consider it. I don't know how you even consider it, because I'm not telling you they're a World Series team necessarily. Could they be? Absolutely they could be. Absolutely. They're not better than last year's Arizona Diamondbacks. You can tell me that for sure. You can look me dead in the face and tell me this current Met team isn't as good as an Arizona Diamondback team that made the World Series last year. Now, yeah, they had some frontline, you know, Zach Gallen is a, you know, an ace starting pitcher. There's a reason they got there. Nothing is a complete fluke necessarily. But this Met lineup isn't as good as that Diamondback lineup. I know Corbin Carroll has been awful this year. Had a nice rookie season, you know. Tommy Pham, right? Marte, Christian Walker. Yeah, they've got some guys, no doubt. This team's just as good. Just as good. Now, they might fall flat. They might not make it. But when you're here, you chase it. And you do not give up pieces. And you do not trade away the guy who started the whole damn thing. The guy in the middle of this lineup who you know is going to give you a professional at bat. Right, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm going to have to text Marash on that one. I mean, that's just, I get the thought process. I do. Sell high. I don't believe in this team. This was the plan all year. You know, you'll get more for him now than you even were 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's been a stud. Someone's going to want him. I get it. That's all true. But how do I look my fans in the face? How does Steve Cohen, who came here and promised championships within the first 5 years, look at this team, look at this fan base and say, hey, I see what's going on. It looks freaking special to me. This offense has been the best offense in baseball for a month. We're getting it together. We're winning all these games, you know, 14 out of 18 or whatever it's been. We've thrusted ourselves right into the mix here. And I agree, we're as good as this team. We're better. We're as good as that team. We're better. But hey, we had a plan. And we signed J.D. Martinez for the exact reason to trade him at the deadline and acquire pieces. And we're in the acquisition mode. So, hey, next year, hopefully what we get for him impacts us. But it's the best thing for the franchise to move on from him and Severino. And, hey, we'll still be pretty okay, don't you think? Don't you think this lineup's still pretty okay without him? How does that man, how does that billionaire, how does that guy who came here with a bunch of promises do that to the fan base? Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And I'm yelling more at the people who think it, because there's no way in hell that I believe that the owner will do that. There is no trading. There's none. You lose Pete, you lose Pete. You lose J.D. Martinez, you lose J.D. Martinez. That's how it goes. You lose Severino, you lose Severino. These are all pieces that could have been lost. They'll rebuild, and next year will be a different team, and you'll make different moves, and you'll go out and try and sign Juan Soto, whoever else. Crazy. Crazy talk. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Mark in Chicago. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, what's up? I'm calling about the I think it's a different team than the beginning of the beginning of the season. They played bad. They had McNeil, Marte. They were relying on them completely. It's a new team. They got Vientos going. They got Alvarez going. This is not the same team we saw in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree. I mean, to start the year, Alvarez was there before he got hurt when they lost all those games at the start of the year. But I agree with you. They're playing right now offensively. Nimmo's hot. Oh. Lindor is hot. I mean, I think you chose poor options on the examples necessarily, but I don't disagree with your point. This is a different team than it was at the start of the year, and there's nothing else to do but believe in them and give them the extra help they need to try and chase a championship.
Stearns was evaluating, and this is where evaluating is.
Yep.
Got to give young guys a job to do it. And listen, we're done with McNeil, no more Marte, and look at the plan.
Well, I don't know if they're done with McNeil necessarily. We'll see. And he played last night. And Marte, we'll see if when he comes back from injury, I think they're still going to play him. I think he's your right fielder. But, I mean, it's more about the other pieces right now. Jeff McNeil, yeah, I'm done with. I don't know why they're not done with. I'm done with. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, right now, and thank you for the call, they are a different team. And you have to go with what you see. And even if it doesn't work, man, you can't pass up on these opportunities. Even if for whatever reason it falls apart in August, right? And don't get me wrong, I don't want that to happen. I'm pumped about the Mets. Believe what you will. All right, believe what you will. I'm a Yankee fan. Is there a part of me that will laugh at you when there's times to be laughed at? Sure, that's just natural. What we do to each other. And are there times when it's going bad for the Yankees that a part of me is misery loves company? And I don't want you to be so happy while I'm miserable. Yeah, I guess. I'm not above that. But I genuinely want the Mets to do well. I genuinely want the Mets to, you know, go deep into the playoffs and then ultimately lose to the Yankees in the World Series. That's my dream. That's my dream. But I don't know how, even if you fall flat, even if it falls apart in August, even if, God forbid, there's an injury to someone or it's just, the offense completely goes ice cold like it was at the start of the year. It's an up and down team. And by the end of it, it's a down situation. The trade you made for are disastrous. The bullpen falls apart. Diaz needs the sticky stuff and gets suspended again or can't pitch or whatever the scenario might be, where ultimately, even as they try and add and bolster this team, they lose. That doesn't change that it's the right thing to do. Because you have no idea that's what's going to happen. It could just as easily go positive and get you back into the World Series. And what's more important than that? That's ultimately the goal. And I was all for trading. I called them dead, and I wanted them to trade everybody. But a month of being the best team in baseball changed all that. Josh in Rockland County. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Great
what's up?
Show.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. What's going on?
Stefan, I think with Scott Efros, Ian Hamilton, Luke Trevino coming back to the Yankee bullpen, the middle relief is going to be good. They just need to require, you know, a Mason Miller, a Tanner Scott, whatever, one of those guys.
That'd be nice.
In the bullpen. Otherwise, I think it will be good. Also, one other thing. Do you think Judge is hitting 62 home runs again this season?
Do I think Judge is hitting 60 home runs again this season?
63?
He's as good as he's ever been. Aaron Judge is absolutely bonkers. He gets another three hits last night and a home run. He's currently in Triple Crown position. If the season ended today, I think he's up to 316 at the moment. Let me double check, see if they give it here. I think he's, well, maybe it is. He is all the way up to 320. He is hitting 321. He's hitting 321, and he's got
179 in April.
He's currently the Triple Crown leader. He's the leader in all those statistics. He's going to win two of the three. He's going to hit the most home runs. He's going to drive in the most runs. I guess the RBIs are a question mark if the rest of the lineup sucks. But here's the problem with saying he's going to hit 60. Two different things. And thank you for the call, Josh. The two scary scenarios of him not hitting 60 are the obvious one. He's been injury prone in his career. Most of it is bad luck. I mean, other than an oblique strain in 2019, all of it's been bad luck. It's been a fastball off the wrist. It's been breaking a rib, diving for a ball. It's been running into a wall. I mean, those have been the issues for it hasn't been soft tissue. He hasn't had, you know, Stanton's history of pulling a muscle every time he runs. He's run into a wall. He's run into a fastball. He's run into the ground. Like, that's where he's got his injuries. So hopefully he can avoid those scenarios and stay healthy the rest of the year. But then the other thing, and eventually, like, we keep saying it. I keep saying it. You keep saying it. The rest of Major League, anyone I talk to keeps saying it. When are they going to stop pitching to him? Because I don't understand. Like, forget the home run. I already hit a home run. How is he allowed to get three hits? How is he allowed to have three at-bats in this game? Not just one. Listen, if you're going to give him one at-bat and pick your spot and he beats you with a home run, you tip your cap. You allow him to have three hits? Why in the world would you pitch to him three times? Once is enough. I get it. I don't even know how you let him pitch to him once. But three times? You're nuts. I don't know how many games he's going to get pitched to three times again this year, unless things change. Honestly, it's going to start to get to that. We keep saying it, and it hasn't happened yet. But eventually, it's going to happen. And so that's what scares me with him hitting 60. Because I just don't know the opportunity he's going to get. Now, in some of the years, like, if you look at Barry Bonds, in 01, he was obviously intentionally walked a lot, but it started to get crazy after that year. 2001, when he hit the 73 home runs, they still pitched to him at a good amount. Then after that, when the team got a little bit worse, then he was never pitched to. And by 2004, he's intentionally walked almost 200 times, which is mind-boggling. It's never going to get to that level, but it's going to start to get to the level of any time after the fifth inning and the game's within a run one way or another, he's not going to get pitched to. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And right now, I have a lineup that I think and I'm not usually one for it. If you listen to me, you know I think lineup construction is dramatically overrated. And I think the amount of nonsense that the fan base will come up with over and over again every year, I think is silly. But watching this team now, I think there are two distinct moves that absolutely need to happen. Need to happen. And we'll get to them. Paul in Hartford. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good, Chris. Hey, I'm just everything you said, sometimes I don't agree, this and that, with what you're saying, but I just want to back you up with your opening monologue. I don't think that Stearns needs to get cute at this trade deadline, and this is why. Because I'm going to start it off with this before I get to the pitching. If you finally went out, we've been begging for a DH. With them as diehard Mets fans.
Yep.
You finally get a guy like JD Martinez, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got guys like Vienta. And you got Beatty. You got these other guys. Alvarez, even. In that clubhouse, when you have a guy like that who is teaching these guys and takes good at bats and does everything else with them and teaches them how to win going into September, that's invaluable. You don't get rid of that guy. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing with all these other pitchers, too, that we have on one-year deals, what you can get. Can we do this and do that and work a three-team trade? Enough with that.
Yep.
Even if you have Senga, Severino, Scott, Manaea, and Quintana, and you can also parlay that into the bullpen with a guy like McGill and Peterson, who've been around the block long enough, give them a chance. Even if you're fortunate enough, now we all know baseball. Now, there's guys who aren't going to be healthy. Scott's going to be on a pitch count. Someone's going to go down.
Right.
Now, you can at least have these guys like Buto, Peterson, McGill, Hauser in the bullpen with the guys who've already shown. I mean, we've already worn out Nunez. Hopefully, he keeps going. I mean, the guy's been our MVP out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And then you get him. And now, all of a sudden, you maybe trade a couple guys out of, you know, some prospect and get some bullpen help. I mean, Lopez would have been great, but they made the right move and that turned the season around too.
Right.
But now at least they finally held people accountable.
Yep.
But enough with, like, we got to trade guys on these one-year deals.
I'm with you. And not only the JD Martinez, yes, your point about his leadership down the stretch, fine. What does it say to your team as they have all these good vibes. They're singing songs and, you know, celebrating McDonald's mascots. All this good stuff is going on. They're scoring all these runs. He's at the forefront of it. His home run against the Marlins, for me, was the spark of this whole thing. And him getting hot was the spark of this whole thing. They talk about him like he's this savant who, you're right, is going to help them down the stretch. What does it say to that group if you trade him? What does it say? Exactly. What does it say to the rest of that team? Because the spin would be, it says, hey, we think you're good enough without him. That's not how it's going to be perceived in that locker room. It's going to be, what the hell did you just do? Why on earth would you take him out of this group? We're killing it. Why would you? It shows. It doesn't show confidence. It shows the opposite. It shows the opposite. It shows, hey, I'd rather get prospects and continue on the path of building this organization because I don't believe ultimately that this group can win. That's what it says. And you cannot send that message to your fan base and to your team right now. You cannot. I understand his leadership. More than that, what does it say getting rid of him? How does that GM look at this team? How does this owner, who's worth $13 billion and buys Jackson Pollock on whims, like, how does he look at this group and say, yeah, you know, well, you know, next year is more important than right now? You can't. The next 3 years are more important than right now. Because it doesn't say, hey, we think you're good enough without him and we saw an opportunity to improve the organization. It says, we don't believe in you. And we didn't want to waste the opportunity to improve next year's club and the year after that because this club ain't it. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. And I can't say that to this group right now who's, I mean, killing it for me. Who scored 11 runs in the last two extra innings. Who's won 14 out of 18. Who's thrusted themselves right into the top of this wild card race, and name me another team in the National League more dangerous at the moment. You can't do it. Now, listen, if they lose, I don't know how many series they have left in the next month because the week off with the All-Star break. If they lose 11 of the next 13, I'll be singing a different tune. That's how life goes. But right now, if this winning persists, if they continue doing what they're doing, how could you look those players in the face and say, listen, I got to make the trades I felt like I had to make. I brought him here on a one-year deal knowing I was going to trade him. I brought Severino here. And you're right. The starting pitching depth can be erased, especially pitchers, in an instant. In an instant. Kodai Senga's not even here yet. You can't talk about Kodai Senga like he's some sort of guarantee in this rotation that you can afford to move on other pieces from, that you can afford to trade Severino because of some of the bottom of the rotation depth and Kodai Senga coming back. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do you want to win? Do you want to win? Because I'd like to win. It's ridiculous. Isaac in Israel. What's up, Isaac?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, it's been a while. Thank you for calling all the way from Israel, man. I appreciate it.
Yes. The morning listening over here, and I got to hear you every morning. It's real great.
Listening on the Odyssey app, which, of course, you can go back and listen to my open or any open, and you can use the rewind feature anytime in the last 24 hours. Let me give that a quick pop. But
correct.
Thank you for the opportunity
there. Come back many times.
Okay.
Yes, thank you for having me. Good vibes. Good night. Do we want to make the playoffs? Or do we want to win the championship? What is the bottom line? What is the end of the day?
Both.
I don't even see that discussion. I am a Mets fan for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's hard. And it'll be even harder when they trade him away. But a couple of weeks ago, you were all begging and crying that we can't get anything for Alonso. We can't get anything for JD or many other guys. We reached that point that we could get some of them, ship them. The GM is being paid millions of dollars to save these players. To tell them, I know it's tough, and I know I might be ruining the clubhouse right now, but we are going for the long run. If you could get pieces that could make this team yearly contenders, not for playoffs are nice and fun, yearly contenders for World Series contenders, it's worth everything. And a nice run and good vibes, exciting and all, but we and you both know if they could easily lose 10 out of the next 12, and we would not be shocked.
But they haven't. But let me ask you a question. What pieces do you think you're going to get that in the next coming years are going to give you the best offense in Major League Baseball. Because I'm sorry, Isaac, that's what they have at the moment. And what team is going to give them a better chance to win a World Series in the next few years than a team with the best offense in Major League Baseball? Like, you, this is not just a nice run. It's not just nice vibes. They are pounding the baseball. They are
pounding the baseball, well, but they are every single player playing at his best, playing out of his mind. How long do you think this can go on? I mean, it's amazing. I'm
A year.
I am more excited. I don't think so. I don't think they're close to the level of Phillies, Dodgers.
Why not?
Even the Yankees. Any of these teams.
They're come on. Why not?
Level. They're bullpen or they're starting
with they got to trade for the bullpen.
They have to get. Right. I think trading away the best players they have right now. Look at Artie Moreno. If he would have traded Shohei Ohtani instead of trying to push one more playoff spot, the Angels would have been in a position, a whole new world would have opened up.
Right.
Obviously, we don't got no Shohei on our team.
Bingo. You're talking about Shohei Ohtani. You're talking about Shohei Ohtani versus J.D. Martinez, and you're talking about a team in the Angels that, you know, won a couple games and worked themselves into a position of being like maybe 5 or 6 games out. The Mets are right in this thing, and I agree with
They're in the sixth seed. They are in the sixth seed. They might be a wild card team if they're lucky. We're not sure. Is that worth it?
Yes.
Is that worth winning a sixth seed and losing it? Alluding to probably the Padres.
What do you think you're getting? What do you think you're going to get for a rental JD Martinez? I mean, what do you think you're going to get?
You know what? The scouts have their eyes on every single minor leaguer in the whole entire.
And then, but what does it transform the team into? Do you ever get as good an offense as you get right now? You don't know what it does for you. It's all question marks
for garbage players. We're talking about if you get an offer of a team that someone is not going to help you right now, but going to help you 2 3 years down the road, in a serious way.
You don't know that. You could trade for anyone. You don't know that. I appreciate the call, Isaac. You're speaking in matter of facts. Like, this is going to change the team. You could make terrible trades and never get an offense as good as you have right now. I mean, that's what I don't get. Like, they're playing as the best team in baseball. The Angels got hot for a week, and he felt like they couldn't get the return. And it was, I agree with you, stupid not to trade Ohtani. But Ohtani's a generational player, is going to get you a ton. I don't know what J.D. Martinez gets you at 35 or however old he is. I don't think Severino's going to get you some kind of crazy package at his age off of last year and now, you know, typically doesn't go deep into the games and doesn't strike people out at the same clip. I think he's good and he'll get you something, but what? What exactly? And how does it transform the team? Now, how do you know what it provides you? How do you know? It might get you nothing. What I know right now is they're playing as good as anyone in Major League Baseball. That's what I know right now. And can they compete with the Phillies? I don't know. Would you have guessed the Diamondbacks could compete with the Phillies last year? Could the Diamondbacks compete with the Dodgers last year? Because the Dodgers didn't win a damn game against them. And Arizona went into Philadelphia and won game 6 and 7 in their building on the way to the World Series. So, I'm sorry. I have to go for it. Have to. Would a World Series this year trump anything else? We've seen it before. We've seen teams have, like, the 2018 Red Sox. They've been trash since. I don't care what you have to go. I don't care. You have to go. And you're not in a position where you're the, like, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, right? And I only use them because David Stearns used to run the Brewers. If you're a small market team and you can't compete in the new world of free agency and you see an opportunity on a nice little year where you have big star players or something that you can trade and bolster the franchise, and I understand that on some level because you can't compete. This is New York, and you have the richest owner in baseball. I'm not giving up on a year and trading away J.D. Martinez or anything else that's not nailed down so I can get a couple prospects that I don't even know how good they're going to be and see what comes next year when I can go out and give Juan Soto money next year, or I can go out and give somebody else big money next year. And I've already done that. I traded Scherzer and Verlander. I made the trades last year. I got three big-time prospects coming up, I hope. I can't do it. I think you're crazy. I think you are crazy to pass up on a year. We live now. Who knows what happens next year? Who knows? This is about it wasn't about 2024 coming in. Completely agree. They didn't treat it like that in the offseason. They didn't treat it like that at the trade deadline last year. They didn't treat it like that at almost any point this year. Now they have to. Now the team is surprised. Now the team has overplayed what we thought they were. Now the team has put themselves in a position to be a threat in the National League. And if you're watching this team as a Met fan and you don't think they're a threat in the National League, I don't know what to tell you. Now everything has changed. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. 2 hours left. And we'll take you till 10 o'clock. Gee, what am I saying? I'm not even sure how I got to 10. Like, I'm trying to think. Sometimes I'll say, I don't know, 6:30, because I've been doing afternoon drive for forever. But 10, I've never ended a show at 10 o'clock in my life. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.